Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with the help of Hims. They provide access to personalized treatments so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Yeah, 3 to 6 months. That's it, kids. Hims offers convenient access to a range of prescription hair loss treatments with ingredients that work, including chews, oral medications, serums, and sprays, doctor-trusted, clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil can stop hair loss and regrow your hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of your own home. Fill out an intake form, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. The process is 100% online, which means getting started has never been more convenient. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Plus, treatment options start at $35 per month. Hims has helped hundreds of thousands of men get their confidence back with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/drinking bros. That is Hims.com/drinking bros for personalized hair loss treatment options. Hims.com/drinking bros. Individual results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Welcome to Drinking Bros. We got a monster of a show today. Fan fave, Tim Kennedy is on the show today. Whenever he's here, I feel like a better person after he leaves. One of the best humans on the planet, and we are live from a TACP competition in Tejas today. Jared's really in his elements. Luckily, there's a lady that takes him down a peg in the middle of the show, but it's an absolute blast today. We got a couple sponsors who put this shit wagon on the air. Before we hop into it, first and foremost is GhostBed.com/drinking bros. If you're a member of the military, a first responder, a teacher, or work in the government, you get 30% off everything in the entire store forever. That deal is staying up forever. If you're a regular dumb civilian like myself, you get 30% off a bundle package right now for the entire month of October. That means you can get the adjustable base, the sheets, the pillows, the mattresses, the covers, everything combined into one for 30% off. And as always, they got the 36-month pay-as-you-go, no-interest program. With all those deals that I just mentioned, you can put that in the 36-month pay-as-you-go program, no interest. Knock it all down to like $38 a month. If you're worried about what's going to happen after the election or you don't want to leave your bed, you might as well have the best bed to sleep in. Go to ghostbed.com/drinking bros today. It's a little cold out here in Texas. Forgive me. Next up, we've got zebit.com/drinking bros. That's zebit.com/drinking bros. And they're offering you up to $2,500 of credits when you shop the Zebit Marketplace. Holiday season sneaking up on us, kids. If you're not already thinking about holiday shopping, you should be because you're behind. With Zebit, you can shop thousands of products from your favorite brands and pay them over time. They have everything. Xboxes, TVs, cookware, furniture, gift cards, you name it.
And Zebit gives you the option to pay just a portion of the price at checkout and the rest spread out over time in easy, achievable payments. That means, look, you get the product immediately, and then it's kind of like layaway. Zebit does not pull your FICO score. There is no cost to join, no hidden fees, no gotchas, no nothing. They've got flexible payment options and an amazing marketplace. Zebit is the best place to start the holiday shopping season. Go to Zebit.com/drinkingbros today for up to $2,500 of credits to shop in the Zebit marketplace. Last but not least, kids, it's one of my faves, one of my old favorites. Talking about boxofawesome.com. Look, man, the boxes came yesterday, and I said to myself, man, I hope they're on the show tomorrow because I want to brag about my shit. Everything they're offering there, it's kind of like Brookstone, except it's just shipped to your house. It's $40. That's it. With the promo code Drinking Bros, that's boxofawesome.com. You get something cool shipped to your house every single month. Let's face it, your wife is on some bullshit makeup thing. My wife is as well. This is our thing. It's time to take back our time. It's like the Goonies. This is our time down here. Once you ride up Troy's bucket, it's all over. Go to boxofawesome.com, fill out 5 questions. They tell you what kind of man you are in this world, and then they send you an item every single month. It could be a hatchet, could be a whiskey decanter. It could be Coke. It could be just pure uncut Bolivian cocaine. I'm totally kidding. I wish that company would be through the roof right now. But at boxofawesome.com, they've got all your faves, all your necessities, all the things that you don't want to buy for yourself or just don't think about as a dude. And it's just a bunch of rad shit. Go to boxofawesome.com today. Use the promo code Drinking Bros for 20% off your first box. After that, it's just a subscription. Shows up once a month. And every single time, it feels like Christmas. Go to boxofawesome.com, promo code Drinking Bros, 20% off. Now, let's hop into the show, shall we? Welcome to Drinking Bros,
what?
Kids.
What?
Yeah, we got a hero on the show. A hero on the show.
It's cold.
We got Timothy Kennedy on the show today, ladies and gentlemen.
Top of this cold morning.
Yeah, he's already beaten up Giorgio this morning.
And he also beat me up. He hurt my hand. I already had a hurt hand.
What was your hand hurt from? Hand
from a sword fight.
Jared was dressed up in medieval
times
here a day
ago. You hurt yourself on the cross guard.
Yeah.
That's a real sword injury.
That's legitimate.
Yeah.
Wear your gauntlets.
That's good advice. So, Ross and Tim, this is something for both of you right now real quick. I had an idea the other day.
Yeah.
I really want to shoot a video. You're in it. Shirtless. We need one other person shirtless. Probably you.
I like where
you
this
guys
is going.
Are wrestling on my bed while I'm talking
so
about
far, this just
Genesis.
Sounds like gay porn.
No, yeah. I'm in a tuxedo and I'm just talking about how Genesis didn't really break out until their third album where Phil Collins.
Genesis was the music, not the book, the Bible.
Yeah.
So we're recreating a scene from American Psycho. Yeah.
That's exactly
but
what
it's
what I was
two
thinking.
Guys wrestling on the bed.
He was covered
while
in an oil.
No. I'm in a tuxedo.
No, but when he was...
The dudes were covered in oil.
Yeah, remember he was like kind of glisteny?
No,
shiny?
there were no dudes in the actual scene.
Right.
Scene,
and your
guys
scene.
Are definitely
yes.
covered in oil.
I want to remind the audience, too, in Range 15 that Jared also came up with, you wrote in Tim Kennedy shirtless.
I wrote in Tim Kennedy naked.
Naked, yes.
And then they said no, and then a malfunction happened with his costume that wasn't... Sabotaged.
I've really wanted to talk about this, though.
We all learned a lot from Timberlake and Janet Jackson. Okay?
Yeah.
I mean, that was a good learning experience for everybody, I think. You can get away with it pretty much. You just got to say oops.
Oops. Yeah, but like, I was on the receiving end of this malfunction, and where they planned it to happen, I had...
Yeah.
Can we say dick on the show?
Oh, you can say whatever you want.
You can say a lot of
words. We say the worst shit on the plane. You can talk about Anne Frank, anything.
Even though it's combat dick?
Combat dick.
Yeah, like where you're working out, you're getting cold water, and then like things go, the shrinkage happens. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, combat dick.
It was cold that day.
And I was in mortal combat with Randy Couture.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, that was scary.
So these are not things that are conducive to long, strong, want to get the friction on. This is more like, where'd he go?
No, your body retracts your junk when it's time to fight.
And then.
Unless you get a murder boner.
What was my... leopard print
it
material.
Was, it was a loincloth.
Loincloth.
It was a piece of wolf fur.
Yeah.
That disintegrated. What it started as.
Disintegrated immediately as soon as you started fighting.
Yeah. You know what weirdly disintegrates wolf fur is gasket remover.
Yeah. We're not saying JT set it up, but JT might have set it
That's
up.
That's basically
to get a stream.
This is basically
and it came true.
This is basically If I Did It by OJ Simpson happening. Right now. That's what we're fucking watching.
Do you remember
right
that
now.
Adorable? She had like black hair, really dark eyes. Did the makeup and kind of dealt with a lot of the wardrobe.
Yeah. The
so
makeup.
They were trying to pin some of the fur.
Yeah.
Back onto what was left of.
Your leotard.
My loin
your
covering.
Bottoms. They were more like European swim bottoms.
So she was trying to like pin it on there, but she's like, okay, this is going to be dangerous. I was like, it's not because there's really nothing there right now, you know, because there wasn't enough flesh for her to have to worry about.
At all. Yeah, yeah, you were good to go. What I didn't tell you about that, by the way, is after you left, mm-hmm. That mat had so much blood on it. They made us pay for it.
Oh, but don't you remember what happened when they tried to take it back?
Oh, my God.
And they went, what?
They asked if we had slaughtered 5 pigs on there, and they didn't want any of their people to touch the mat. And they were like, we're billing you for this. That was a $12,000 mat.
Maybe never been more proud than right now.
But just the fear in them, like, we rented a ring, and we bring it back. Covered in blood.
What did they think was going to happen?
It's a
fucking
ring,
dude.
What do you do in a ring?
You fucking punch each other.
Well,
in the face.
Here's the thing. In all fairness, we pitched them of like, hey, there's 2 huge UFC fighters that are going to be on it, and they were honored. They were like Tim Kennedy and Randy Couture. It doesn't get any better than
it doesn't.
That.
Doesn't.
And now, what we neglected to tell them was that you were getting your head ripped off of Randy Couture, and there was going to be blood everywhere, else they never would have gave us the ring.
Yeah, but think about it. They still to this day think that there was some secret private fight between Tim and Randy Couture that resulted in that much blood.
Yeah,
like, they probably tell this story, Tim.
Maybe it was Bohemian Grove.
The only photo that generated besides what was in the movie itself was Randy and I covered in each other's blood sitting on the back of a trunk. Yeah. And everybody just wants to know what happened here that you guys are mostly naked covered in each other's blood.
This does not compute.
Yeah.
No.
It's not your business.
It's also not your goddamn business.
Somebody stole the head you ripped off of Randy Couture and tried to sell it online.
Same
That's
with the
a travesty.
Someone stole the dick.
And
$7,000
Evan's dick. And then Nick Palmisano hunted them down. And found this company and then demanded to know where it came from.
Where's
my
dick, bro?
I will say this. Nick got the dick back, and he got the head back of Randy Couture. So that is somewhere in a vault.
We're going to put it in
glass. I have never seen it since, yeah.
What's hilarious, you couldn't tell a story that more aptly describes Nick Palmisano.
He hunted them down.
Just
got the
on
dick
principle.
I'm taking the next 3 months off.
Yeah, I'm going to find whoever stole this thing that has no real value. I'm going to spend a ton of my time out of propriety, decency, and moral.
This is my life now.
Yeah. I'm going to find this dick in this head.
It was the best, man. I know you get hit up all the time about Range 15. So do I. You were fantastic in it, and that's where we all met. And then as all of our lives have grown, the show has grown, Black Rifle Coffee has grown, Ranger Up has grown, all that stuff. It's great to reconnect here while we're all in Austin because we just moved the entire media company. We're here. We saw you on Joe Rogan the other day, which is what I really want to bring up because you got on there and probably made a comment that seemed flippant to you where you just said, you know what would be awesome? Is if you hosted a debate with Donald Trump and Joe Biden, and I think that would be amazing.
And then that light the internet.
Well, so
fire.
we were watching as it happened, right? Didn't think anything of it. About 4 hours later, it exploded into the ether to the point that after the first debate, everybody on Twitter, number one, was like, "Well, Joe Rogan definitely should have hosted that." Yep. Did you know what you were doing going into that show, or was that just a complete accident of like, holy shit, I can't believe this got around the world?
So about the debate, I knew I was going to ask Joe if he would host it. I have a lot of respect for Joe. I also know that he has enough common sense to mute somebody if they won't shut up when he tells them to. And evidently somebody doesn't know how to do that on debate. So I prepared heavily for that conversation because we were talking about a bunch of really nuanced subjects to include insurgency, counterinsurgency, Black Lives Matter, Antifa, funding of insurgencies. Mm-hmm. So I came in very, very prepared, and I was overly prepared because every time I would state something, Joe never – I had so much facts. Mm-hmm. Like if Joe would have been like, okay, well, that doesn't really make a lot of sense. I'm like, well, fantastic, because I have 27 historical examples that I can list for you in chronological order. Let's talk about fundamental insurgencies. And here's the example where it happened in three different countries.
Isn't it interesting how everything that's going on in our country right now resembles all the counterinsurgency we've been doing for the last two decades?
Yeah, yes. But by interesting, you mean like pathetic?
Yeah. Like we should have learned these lessons already. We should have seen it coming.
We've been on the other side of this.
Yeah.
All numerous times.
Like it's really.
But we see it, but nobody else does.
No, it's really as simple as cutting off the money supply. After that, shit just starts to fizzle out. I mean,
But because you've seen
nobody will admit that there's even a goddamn.
Did you know that it was going to go around the world like that when you said it?
Well, I mean, when Trump retweeted me, and then Donald Trump Jr. hits me up and is like, "Hey, can you make this happen?" I was like, "Well, I mean, your dad said you're in, and like you're asking me, so that seems pretty sure." Mm-hmm. But I don't got a phone number for Joe Biden, and I'm not sure if he can. I'm not sure.
We get that guy's phone number.
Some of the guys here.
I'm sure he's probably still in the goddamn white pages.
Yeah, might be.
Is this that was that easy, Biden? Joe.
Oh, there he is. Yeah, you definitely have to use a rotary phone to call that old bitch.
Hi, is Mr. Biden there?
You ain't black.
That's all he says whenever anybody answers. Have you seen that Key and Peele sketch?
Yes.
Where he's making a phone call. Have you seen it yet?
No.
Like, it's like a robocall from Biden.
Yeah.
And it just he's, like, asking him questions, and it's Key, the tall guy, right?
Yeah.
And he's just like, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And he said, oh, I don't know about that. He goes, you ain't black, and just hangs up on him. And he keeps calling him back and saying, you ain't black, and hanging up on him over and over again. It's one of the best things I've ever seen in my fucking life.
That would be Joe Biden in this. And he actually said no, by the way.
Oh, of course he did.
So he said he wouldn't participate, but then again, he hasn't left the basement. Which will lead us into, where do you think this election is going on Tuesday? Do you think Trump's going to win?
Man, it doesn't matter. Because Trump wins, we're like nearly in a civil war in every single urban city in the nation. Biden wins, we're going to have a catastrophic economy with like taxes that I can't afford. So where do you move? Because I'm already in Texas.
We've been looking.
Where do you go to? Because we're at like the lowest taxes place we can get.
I've been looking into overseas.
Because 4
south.
Years ago, I remember like
Central America.
2,000 people.
I'd rather give, you know, a healthy 25% to a local South American government to leave. Say, hey, you guys protect me. I'll fund the police department.
Or a warlord. Like, either way.
And just say, hey, I'm on your side. Then give it to a Biden tax economy.
Like, you know, the Barbra Streisands and who's that kind of fat white comedian female? She's not
Chelsea
funny.
Handler.
Also, yeah, she's another one.
She's on my
Schumer.
On my list.
Amy Schumer. Yeah. Amy Schumer. Yeah, all of them. Well, to include a Handler, they were like, oh man, I'm going to leave as soon as
I'm
he gets elected.
Leaving.
And then he gets elected, they're like, oh, never mind, taxes are going down, and I'm super selfish and greedy.
And
I'm a hypocrite, so I'm just going to stay here.
I love Chelsea Handler this week, who called, you know.
She's talking shit about 50 Cent.
She called a guy that grew up in gangs and got shot quite a few times to remind him that he was black.
Yeah.
Like, Chelsea Handler, a middle-aged, upper-class white bitch, called a guy that's been shot over being in a gang to remind him that he was black.
And then she said she would pay his taxes if he voted for Biden and took back his vote for Trump. So what happened was 50 Cent looked at the tax rates for the state of New York with the proposed hike from Biden. And he goes, well, I'm not paying that. I'm voting Trump. Yeah. And then afterwards, the internet exploded and she goes, I'll pay your taxes. Just go on publicly and say you're voting for Biden. And
isn't
just remember that
bribery?
You're black.
Yeah, you can't do that. That's illegal.
No.
I'm going to pay you for your vote?
That is a federal crime. What are you going
to
do?
I would love to
I know what to do. You arrest them or let me go skin
kick,
them. I would wear her skin to a birthday suit.
Oh, yeah. She's got good skin. She's upper class.
Look at all the
scars. I mean. She's upper class.
I might complain a lot, but I mean, it's all right.
But it's just skin. Skin doesn't talk. If I wore her skin,
you might start complaining.
You would. That's how that works.
You're talking about, like, what's the guy got a fucking hand transplant that started going crazy or some shit? Remember that?
Idle Hands?
Oh, yeah. Idle Hands. You're going back to Devin Sawa movies.
Devin Sawa.
Is that a fiction thing or is that real?
Fiction thing. I did get in a fist fight with Devin Sawa at a bar. Bert Kreischer talked about it on his show.
Yeah.
He was with me.
Yep.
It was just me and Bert. That was a fun night. And when I go on a show,
you just fuck we're going to Devin Sawa.
We've agreed to recreate it with everybody on the show.
I heard Devin wants to apologize, though.
Really?
Yeah. I've heard he's sorry for that night.
I have no idea.
He's acting like a
dick. He should be.
I have no idea.
Speaking he should be. Just know it's going for him.
Have you ever gotten in a bar fight? I always wonder if somebody like you gets into a bar fight, like what happens? Like on accident. If they don't know and they grab your wife's ass and it's just like, hey, man, what do you do?
So I don't get in fights because I get paid hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars to fight.
I figured.
Yeah. A couple examples. I was downtown 6th Street, and I very rarely are even in a position to get into a fight.
That is true.
Like I don't drink. I don't go out to places where people are drinking about to want to fight. But I was there for a birthday party, and it would have been pretty rude to have said no. So I was there, and this guy was like, "Oh, you're a baby killer. I know who you are, you violent piece of shit." And he pours a drink on top of my head. And within a few minutes.
It's a bold move.
It was a bold move. Bold move, Cotton. I played mind games. I went full psychop.
Yeah, you know? What was his? Now, can you break down his description? What was his weight, height? Was he out of the London? You know,
like, he was super drunk. And he was my height. And I'm going to give him a little nod because he was like 165 pounds.
Whoa.
So I'm a 220 pound.
Your height.
Alpha male.
A gorilla, ogre, troll, idiot.
That has survived five full rounds with professional fighters.
Yes.
Yeah. Just them really giving
you
the bee's
knees. I've been
murdering
people most of my adult life.
Yeah, you know.
And within 5 minutes, he was telling me the sob stories of him losing his father last year and wanting to enlist but couldn't.
Asthma, feet.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
Jesus.
It was colorblind.
Yeah. Oh.
colorblind.
Is that a real thing?
Halt you from being
evidently.
A pilot.
Yeah, you can be colorblind in the infantry, I bet.
I don't know.
And here's the other thing.
What's the worst thing that happens?
You shoot
a fucking tracer
around?
How did you flip the switch?
What was it? What did you say to him?
He was like, "Hey, dude, I don't give a fuck if your dad died, okay? Shut the fuck up." We all got dads, bitch. He said he was playing psychops. I don't know.
No. I think when you come from a position of kind of humility and grace,
yeah.
So obviously somebody pours a drink in your head, and you're like, "Ah!" They're like, "You're going to fight."
Yeah.
Super easy.
Yeah.
And somebody pours a drink on your head, and you're like, "Man, I deserve it. I'm ashamed of what I've done, and you know, if I could go back in time and do anything, I'd go back and change all of the things that I've done." But
no fucking way.
Can I buy
you?
Yeah, can I buy you another drink to pour on my head?
This is. Can I buy you another drink to pour on my head?
Guess what? I bought him another drink, and we drank together.
Not
a problem.
Shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is and so what happens
and
after
then,
that?
Then, like, then he gets him to give him his wallet.
Yeah.
And by the end of the night, Tim has a fucking general power of attorney signed by this guy.
You take his card. You take over. Yeah.
I still have a kidney for sale, by the way. So if anybody needs a kidney, it's up for auction.
Everybody always asks, like on this show, like you're one of the fan favorites on the show, obviously, and like. There isn't a better human in this world where it's like somebody asked me at the I took my kid to jiu-jitsu. He's 6 years old. And they asked me and they were like, "Oh, what would you like your kid to be like?" And I was like, "Do you know Tim Kennedy?" And I was like, "Oh, yeah." And they sell Jocko's book for kids. Yeah. And they make that mandatory reading at this dojo.
I like this school.
I know.
It's a great school.
It's great. And so I go, "Tim Kennedy." And he goes, "Why?" And I go, "Well, he can murder everybody. He's a UFC fighter. He's a smart businessman." And I was like, "Every time I look at your Instagram to start off the day, I feel horrifically lazy about my life, like awful about it. Is it real? Is all the shit you do real every single day?"
Well, so I was in 7th Special Forces Group for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And during my time there, I was able to smuggle back cocaine, like pounds of cocaine from Medellin.
Mm-hmm.
And I put it into a heavy bag, a boxing bag, and I just stuffed the whole boxing bag with cocaine. So while all of the things I do are real, it's really enhanced by the cocaine I'm
I'm locked in.
Oh,
hi,
ma'am.
How are you?
Hey,
welcome.
Tension. Oh, how are you?
Hey, I'm Burns.
Hey,
welcome to the show. Grab a microphone.
I got a seat for you.
Welcome to Drinking Bros.
I do.
This is D'Anthony D'Anthony Holloway.
Hi.
This is Tim Kennedy.
Greetings.
Hey. Jared
Greetings.
Taylor, and I'm Ross Patterson.
Hi.
Tell us about yourself.
So, hey, my name is Danielle Willis. I go by Burn. Like most fighter pilots, I got a call sign. And I'm the 93rd Air Ground Operations Wing Commander. So
it's badass.
She's in charge of like all the TACP units.
Girls can fly.
All the TACP units.
So, oddly enough, girls can fly. Usually
fantastic.
Better than the dudes can.
For sure, no doubt. Yeah.
Not in Saudi Arabia, but here for sure. Just saying. I didn't make the fucking rules. I'm just saying. Yeah.
How long have you been in for?
That's poorly timed.
So I've been in the Air Force for 24 years.
What?
Holy shit.
You don't even look 24 years old.
I know.
Oh, you're so sweet. I like that.
Yeah, high ranking.
That's good. Yeah.
You
teach my husband how to say that.
Okay.
But ask her the platforms that she's flown because they're very impressive.
Okay. What have you flown?
So I started out as a backseater in a Strike Eagle, so F-15Es.
Shut up.
Yeah, flew my my first combat missions in Operation Southern Watch in your hot tub time machine, go back to that era, and then was in the opening days of Operation Enduring Freedom, dropping bombs in Afghanistan. And then I went to pilot
training. You already said you're married, so if all four of us start hitting on you, it'd be poor
along
time.
With the 10.3
just keep
million
talking
that
about
listened.
This, so, yeah. This so, bombing stuff here.
Yeah, so not only am I married, my husband's also a Viper guy.
He's a fighter pilot,
married to a fighter pilot. We're going to celebrate 20 years of marriage in about 2 weeks.
Congratulations.
Yeah. So look
at
that.
If you start hitting on her, you're going to see planes circling over your fucking house.
Don't worry about that.
A GB-54,
if you see you'll never hear coming for your roof.
No, not at all.
If you see a green laser on the ground.
That's amazing.
Is your husband great looking? Because all fighter pilots seem to be great looking for some reason.
He's pretty great looking, yeah.
How much volleyball does he play?
No, that's Navy. They don't do that. They don't do that here.
I didn't know.
He's also smart enough to have retired, and he gets to fly A-29s as a contractor now. So
That's amazing.
I love A-20. Okay, an A-29 is, imagine merging a P-51 with an F-18 Hornet. It's a two-seater vertical, and holds bombs and rockets. Honestly, we should have bought a shit ton of them in the beginning of the war, because for about the cost of two F-16s to fly for one tour, you could have had A-29s for everybody in theater.
I thought we were going all 35s. Is that not...
So how long do you think you're going to stay?
I'm going to stay till I stop having fun.
No, shit. So,
what are you doing in Texas right now?
So I'm here for Lightning Challenge, which is the worldwide TACP competition for the U.S. Air Force.
What's that like? It's like a Best Ranger competition, but TACPs. For the...
But better. Yeah,
for TACPs. What do you know about TACPs, weirdo?
I mean, I was one for 15 years.
Someone argue that Jared might be the most famous TACP, except for David Goggins.
That doesn't count.
I don't know what to say right now.
For 24
years, I'm not
going
to address that.
Like, really no desire to get out. I mean, that's a long time going through that grind.
It's a long time, right? But I got to fly Strike Eagles. I got to fly F-16s in Korea and in combat. And
God damn it! That's awesome.
Yeah, you live the best life. Holy shit,
exactly.
I wouldn't leave either.
And I bet your knees don't feel like mine.
No. Probably not.
No.
But
all
then,
the murdering and none of the injuries. God damn it.
How do they imagine this? Yeah.
All I had to be was to fly, smart and pretty.
You have to fly an F-16 from the States to theater and refuel eight times. Like, can you imagine after the air refuel eight times?
I did F-16? A virtual reality refueling of an F-15, and I did it 26 times.
And still didn't get the nozzle.
No, I crashed all 26 times.
See? Now imagine having to do that to stay alive.
So it takes a little bit of a soft touch.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, I have that.
Yeah, look at those gorilla mitts. You definitely have a soft
touch. Somebody else hold
the
mic.
I watched you trying to type earlier.
Tim Kennedy.
So her being the AGOW commander who's in charge of essentially all the stateside TACP units, what's the future for TACPs? Since we do kind of fear technology is going to take our job away.
Yeah, well, but here's the thing is it's adapt or die, right? So we're in the middle of a...
I like that motto. Yeah,
it's,
make a shirt of that.
Yeah, I'm going to trademark that. No, just kidding. No, we're in the middle of an absolutely wonderful time to be in the Tactical Air Control Party weapon system. And that's the thing. About 2 years ago, the Air Force designated them as a human weapon system. So really acknowledging what they bring to the fight. And you know this because you've been in combat with them. I've been in the TACP community in and out for the last 10 years. Absolutely fell in love with the mission from coming from the air side and then just seeing how professional we can be in terms of getting close air support into theater, getting in with all the teams that are going outside the wire. And now we're looking at all the innovation that's coming on board. So the Lightning Challenge, we've spent the last 4 days in the field. These guys are tired. It's like running a 100-mile race almost every day.
We put it on pause for almost 20 years. This was the big thing that happened back in, before Afghanistan kicked off, was everybody trained for the Lightning Challenge. And then wars kicked off. We stopped. This is the first real one that has happened.
So that was the most Air Force thing you've ever seen of all the Air Force things you've said.
Okay.
So a war interrupted you guys?
Training.
Playing. Okay. So, go on.
Well, I mean...
Chow halls are really nice, though.
I know. They would never let me in them. No, they're ew, we know what you are. Take your hairy, gross hands out of here. That's a real true story.
I believe it.
Because of the hair on your knuckles?
So...
Well, I mean, just the general demeanor that we'd walk in. They're hey...
Why is your uniform
You still
dirty?
Have savage blood on you. Get out. Well, we don't get to drop it from pretty airplanes that are leather seated.
Wait, is there leather seats
I bet there is.
Well, I guess you have to find out, right?
No, I can't.
Hey, what's the material that you sit on in any of those aircrafts? Is there leather?
So no, not
it's
November.
Cashmere. No, it's fucking cashmere, dude.
You can't. You don't. Well, there is. So there is. There is sheepskin.
Yeah.
But
and a viper.
Yeah. But the thing is, you.
Are you fucking kidding me?
You said that, but my mouth was open. I was just like, uh-uh.
It's a
no.
Nice seat.
It's sheepskin.
I don't even know if I sound sheepskin.
So there are some covers. Yeah, but the deal is it's an ejection seat, so it's not super comfortable. And if you're in the Viper, it's leaned back about 30 degrees. So if you can imagine, like, yeah, exactly. leaning back, which is great, except sometimes you have to be able to see. So.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, issues every once in a while. But, you know, getting back to TACP, yeah, it was on hold for a long time because, I mean, we're busy. Guys are going out the door all the time, deploying, really fighting the war.
Yeah.
And as stuff is starting to slow down and draw down, and we're looking at what is next for the future of warfare, what is the national defense strategy telling us? We're going to go high level and talk about what are the generals thinking we're going to do next.
Yeah.
War is going to look different than it has the last few years. We're not focused as much on violent extremist organizations. We're focused on great power competition. We're looking at what Russia's doing. We're looking at what China's doing.
I'm in.
Yeah.
I still got 4 years left.
And if you look at the wars that are going on in the world right now, they don't look like what we had in Baghdad
wars?
Or Ramadi in 2004. If you look at where Russia is fighting, you know, the Ukraine. I mean, if you look at the Donbass region, eastern Ukraine, they're doing trench warfare. They're not using a lot of technology because the Russians have the ability to get in and hack those systems.
Yeah.
And so it goes back to old school fighting. It goes back to
hell yeah.
Yeah.
I'm
yeah,
just
yeah, I'm back in it. Yeah. I don't have an E2 cool. Like, how do I get one of those?
This is
the same thing that happened during the Afghan war with Russia, right?
Yeah.
Until we gave them frequency hopping radios.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Until we gave it to them.
Yeah.
So like, how do you bring that old shit up? How do you bring more glory to the TACP community and make people want to become TACP?
Can I tell a story? This will help.
Sure. Yeah.
A movie.
All right. So I grew up in kind of a charismatic church. And you ever heard someone speak tongues?
I've never heard
but you
of
heard
yeah,
about
yeah.
it.
Oh, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm in Afghanistan. We're getting our ass kicked. And our JTAC and the TACPU that was co-located with one of the other teams with actually these guys, the Czechsoft guys, because I was a coalition asset.
Okay.
He started talking to three or four different aircraft that were all setting up patterns to come in and do gun runs. One that was doing orbits around us, just dropping down hell and saving all of our lives. But the only thing I could describe what he was doing on the radio, two different radios at the same time, was speaking in tongues. Because it wasn't real. It was like gibberish. It was like.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounded like that.
Plus or minus three.
You know, come back to us. Yeah. Jesus says, come back. But that dude did that for 20 hours.
Yeah.
And, I mean. Every single aircraft is like, hey, we no longer have any more ordnance on this. We have to go back and get some more, come back on station in like 6 hours. And then another one would come on,
yep.
Repeat for 20 hours. And this dude just sat there speaking in tongues, saving our pathetic, hairy-handed lives.
I got to tell you, the TACP community is full of the biggest dirtbags I've ever met in my life. And this is King Dirtbag right here.
Yeah.
But
for the record,
I am
not a dirtbag.
Yeah, you're all, well,
she's high-branding lady. She probably has a monocle in her pocket.
I'm just saying, they're the biggest dirtbags I've ever met in my life. My best friend of 15 years now or so is a huge dirtbag. But they're the most, like, organized on the job. You know, everybody's had that guy in their unit that is a total piece of shit back in garrison, but they're a great soldier downrange.
Yep.
That's all TACPs, basically. Like, they're just... Once they get in theater, it's like, they do shit like that. Yeah. I'm like, wow, this is... Yeah. I thought you guys
were all retarded.
I seriously
thought he was useless. Up until that point, I debated. Yeah. I was like, man, he has pretty good looking legs.
Yeah, and then all
I'd eat that.
Then all of a sudden, 30 seconds into a tick, we haven't even called in yet. I'm already getting air support. I'm like, oh, cool.
This all is right. cool.
Fuck.
I'm going to leave your leg. I'm not going to roast it.
Yeah, I'm not going to die today, so I guess you can keep that leg.
So
what's
sustained.
The craziest story you've been involved in personally?
Oh, my gosh. There's a lot. But before I answer that question, I just want to go to the last one because you guys didn't give me a chance. I mean, what's
sure, that's Drinking Bros, by the way.
Yeah.
We apologize.
That's
we
okay.
drink often and very, very early.
And we're done.
All good. No, you're not dumb. But, you know, the TACP are absolutely the link between the ground forces and the air forces. I mean, you described it perfectly in your story. But not only do they have to understand how the ground forces work. They got to have the credibility to get out to the OP, get out to the field with the guys. They have to. You have to know that if the shit hits a fan, they're going to be part of the team and they're not going to be a hindrance. They're an asset. And then as soon as they get on the radio, you know it's pure gold.
Fuck, I went to the wrong thing.
Yeah. And then the other piece of it is for the Air Force side is, you know, they have to know and reach back into every aircraft that's out there. And now we're not just talking about what kind of iron can come off a plane. We're talking about what space assets are out there, what cyber stuff is out there. These guys are super smart. I mean, they are getting into everything, innovation across the board, developing apps with Duke University and Hacking for Defense, all that stuff that's going to make it awesome on the battlefield, and then we can turn around and give them a couple of pieces of copper wire and a radio and go make a field expedient antenna because none of your cool shit's going to work, and they can do that too.
Yeah, I qualified with my rifle last month. I just want everybody to know.
Proud of you,
so,
too.
Yeah, I'm just right
as if you
right
needed
up.
To be a better person.
I don't even
person.
Know how to use a radio.
So I wasn't this is the tragic story of all of it. I got sent home to go to squadron officer school. Right,
this is a tragic story?
That is a tragic story because if you are a fighter pilot and you get sent home early from deployment to go to school, that makes you sad. But the good news is that was the right thing to do because I was heading to pilot training next, and I managed to do well in my career, and I'm still here today.
You showed back up in 07 in a Viper.
I did.
I knew you were doing some dropping then.
Yes, so I was at Balad in 07. Kind of funny story with that, I actually deployed with my husband. Yeah. Initially, our squadron was not going to send us together because they didn't want it to happen. And then as a twist of fate kind of went around, I found out on a Sunday that I was going to go be a replacement, and Thursday I was leading a four-ship of Vipers up initial and into Iraq.
Wow.
So bad.
Wow.
So.
That's America.
Crazy. America.
Yeah. Did you drop any 12?
I did.
Yes. Last question awesome. For you here. Global threat-wise, as a tech P, what do you think is our biggest global threat out there?
That is a great question. So really, it's about competition, right? So we don't know exactly what things are going to look like next. You know, we're doing a lot of work talking about great power competition. What did geopolitics look like? How is the pandemic affecting what's going on in the world? We know that conditions are setting up where we have economic distress in countries. So we really have to be ready for anything. And that's probably the biggest thing. We don't know which of the state or non-state actors are going to be the first thing that triggers off a conflict. That's why we're doing this kind of training out
it's
here.
It's a real short list, though.
Yeah. It's a real short, like, it's anywhere, like five right? Countries. It's,
I mean, yeah, you know, right now we're facing one of my good friends that used to be an ALO for the Navy. He was a Hornet pilot now in charge of
Air Liaison Officer.
Yeah,
Air Liaison Officer. Yeah.
He was
with the Second Airborne. He was with the SEAL team.
Anyway, he's part of the Navy's cyber divisions that do certain things, and we are being flooded with counter information on both on all sides from Russia and China.
Yeah, you're looking at about 3,500 to 4,500 attacks per month, give or take, like individual attacks on individual.
I mean, they've got reporters on payroll. They've got everything.
That's
like
weird.
Like a lot of the things that you see circulating social media now. Take them for face value because you never know where it came from.
But I just assume that anyways, right? And don't you guys as well, where it's like, I assume we're probably trying to do it to other countries.
I mean,
no, we have been doing it to other countries, and we've been doing it for a really long time, but the Russians have been, well, Russia and China have been doing it for a decade. They've been playing this long game.
Yeah.
So, like, they have pages that have tens of thousands of followers, legit followers, and it is a bot farm.
Yeah.
You know, but they have 10,000 real people that are like, oh, yeah, I like this meme page. You're like,
so if you want to get into some of the nerdy analysis of it, there's a lot of really good information out there. In 2017, the EU and NATO set up what they call the Hybrid Threat Center of Excellence in Helsinki, and they put out a bunch of papers where they analyze that, and you can take a look and see real hard evidence of what is going on in terms of the information sphere. And that's why we keep talking about with TACP, it's not just about iron coming off jets. I mean, that's cool and that's a great part of our job and we're really good at it. But now we're expanding into what other effects can we bring to bear on the battlefield so that we can get the ground forces into the position that they need.
Let's just pull the plug, go back to trench warfare. I'm in.
Let's do it.
I'm in.
All melee weapons.
Sure.
You're
really?
So do you have a favorite team you want to win this competition?
America. Probably, right?
Are you talking about this competition?
Every commander has their favorite.
Who's your face off?
Yeah. I thought you meant geopolitical.
So as a wing commander with 16 squadrons, it's like asking a mom who her favorite child is. She might have one.
She has one.
But she's not going to tell you who that is. But I do want to give a great shout out to the 3rd ASOG and the 803rd Opt Support Squadron who designed this competition. They put a lot of thought into it so that it's not just who's the fastest, who's the brawniest, who can shoot the straightest. They are challenging these guys at every single level over endurance. So, you know, we went out on Monday. They did a combat fitness test, which they're used to doing because we have our own tier two. But we threw a twist in and said, all right, here's a Marine combat fitness test. You've never done it before. Then
they
do the air assault.
With me, they did.
Yeah. Then they did the air assault obstacle course, and then we threw him in the sim and made him do math. So
it's awesome.
Totally endurance to really show not just who's the best looking, because I know that would be a whole day of competition, but who's really the best at the TACP business.
I feel like if you were at high schools, by the way,
you should try
as a recruiter, you would get everyone to sign up.
So, well, hopefully. That's,
can I compete next year? Do I have to get a haircut?
Yeah, we're working on
Was that yes to the haircut or yes, I can compete?
Well, yes, you would have to get a haircut. we could probably raise some money to see who would do that. But we're working on trying to see what we can do to expand the competition. So I can't give you a hard yes, but I can tell you that we would love to have more people to be able to participate as we come out.
Can you imagine?
Awesome. Awesome. Well, hey, thank you for being on the show today.
Really
thanks for your time. And good luck in the competition here.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. So
you think you'll win, yes or no?
Well, I'm the commander, so.
Yeah.
She wins, period.
So. Unless Germany takes it, and then we're all pissed.
Wait, is Germany here?
Yes, Germany's here.
Where?
Yeah. What?
Guys, thanks for giving me a few minutes of airtime. Let me brag on our TACP, because JT knows, and he may not be the best example, but these guys are awesome.
Please send this.
Cut that out. No, leave it. Leave it. Highlight that point.
But here's the thing. I mean, I've been in and out of the TACP community for 10 years. The reason I'm here and back is because I love this job and I love this community. These guys are awesome, and they deserve as much press as you can give them.
Awesome.
All right, thanks.
Thank you for being here. We greatly appreciate it.
All right, JT.
Enjoy the day. We'll be out there in a little bit. Tim, if she came to your high school, you would sign up.
Oh, my God. For a myriad of reasons. You know, she walked in the room. I'm like, I'm in. And then she's like, I'm a fighter pilot. I'm like, I'm in. And then she's like, I'm married to a fighter pilot. I'm like, damn it. But I still have a chance. I'll still enlist. Whatever.
Sure. I'll still enlist.
Are you texting? Who are you texting right now?
Why is my leg warm?
Our ad lady.
That's nice,
isn't
it?
Wait.
That
she
actually was comfortable.
Yeah.
Like, we were warm.
I was warm.
It was a good, it was a bonding session.
It was a nice mid-show snuggle.
I want that video clip bad.
Oh, you'll have it.
Like,
you'll have it tonight.
There is a meme in itself.
Big Dan, you'll give him that clip tonight.
She was in a hurry. I was going to have her say I was going to be like, hey, before you leave, go ahead and say David Goggins is a better TACP than JT.
Can we just relive that moment where she looked at you and she's like, you may not be the best example of what TACP is. And she has eye contact because it was like she knew she had to say it.
You know what, though? I'm not out of touch with reality. Notice how I just accepted my lashing from mom. it was like we were at the principal's office again, and she's just going, yeah, well, you know.
He's one of the officers. So, like, polished. Always.
Look, she was ready to go and speak at the RNC right there. Like, that was, she's an accomplished speaker. I feel like everybody is like that, except for Jared.
I'm rooting for the 14th ASOS.
Oh.
This is my team today.
Yeah.
That's my favorite unit I was in. Well, the 116th was pretty good, too. So, two favorite units.
All right.
Are they both here?
I don't think the 116th is, but the 14th is. I'm rooting for the 14th.
How are they faring?
The 14th is in the top three, which they better be, because they're the only airborne unit.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah.
We'll find out what
happens. So the paratroopers better be kicking some ass.
Tim, are you still in, by the way?
I am, yeah.
You are.
He just got promoted.
Yeah.
Did.
Show
did.
Your greatness to
everybody
him.
Everybody stand to the position.
Yes. What do you do with...
He needs to grovel. Get down and thank Tim for
just
his
suck it. Just suck
I'm
his
not, I'm not
suck
the
his
guy
dick.
In high school who was like, oh, I wanted to enter the military
just
and I got
thank
asthma.
For his
I wasn't that guy. I was like, I'm a comedian. That's what I do.
I got asthma. I got flat feet.
General.
Oh, you got your one star.
You're
not a,
yeah, you're one star now, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, so I wear it on my flash, but then I wear a different rake on here because I don't know if those actually have to match.
No, they don't.
I don't think. I mean, we could look at the red.
I saw that on an episode of MASH when they were trying to get the radio guy into the officers' hall to drink.
As long as I get a discount at Sizzler, I know I'm good.
Corporal Captain, I believe they called it.
How long do you plan on going?
So I'm at 17 years this January.
Holy shit.
They do this thing where I'm like right on track where, you know, you make E8 right around the like 15 to 17. So I'm at 16 right now. Mm-hmm. And so that means Sergeant Major will kind of be knocking at the door right at 20. But then you have to have 3 years of retainability. So you either have
But that's pretty good for the kind of the legacy.
Yeah, I don't care about any of that, though. Mm. As soon as they're like,
is it worth 3 years of your life of doing paperwork? No, it's not.
Sergeant Major Kennedy, though.
Smadge. Your Smadgesty.
All my friends that are Sergeant Majors are, of course, like, you're going to make a bigger impact as a Sergeant Major. I'm like, that's what they tell you in the Sergeant Major Academy. Nobody actually believes it. Do you believe that?
No, because everybody, including the sergeant majors who've gone, the sergeants major who've gone there, call it the lobotomy factory.
Yeah, it's just
all of them say that.
Pure Stockholm syndrome.
All of them say that. So fuck no, no.
Do you ever get any shit for what you post on Instagram?
All the time. All right, is this a joke?
No, I'm asking because somebody.
Be more specific.
I'll say yes. From the special ops community.
So it's hilarious. Some of my worst critics are the special operations. I'll never throw a stone at a veteran. Like, I support the community in every imaginable way. But they forget that I have to speak to the civilian audience, right? And my goal is to try to elevate the general American public to what is really, really normal in our world.
We understand the lingo. We understand the stuff.
So, like, I'll post things like, that is the most cringeworthy thing, the most embarrassing green beret in the panel. Are you really special operations? And, like, relentless. There's meme pages dedicated to making fun of me. But they've never once taken a step back and thought about who I'm talking to. And I'm talking to, like, the guy that drives the minivan to drop his kids off at work, at school, to then go to work driving that minivan and then come back home to pick up his kids and make it back home because his wife is also working. And somewhere in between there, he has to get the motivation to get a workout in, to be a good father, to be a good lover. But the special operations community is pretty rough with me.
Because the reason I ask, I get an email and said, hey, man, next time Tim's on the show, ask him this fucking question, man, because I think it's bullshit or whatever. And I was like, you know, if you don't have famous people, and I hate to call you that in front of your face because we're friends, but like, if you don't have famous people who are getting it out into the public, to me, you, Jocko, all these guys do more for civilians like us who are like, all right, great, now we can put a face and an attitude and a swagger to what you actually do.
On the popular target.
Anybody that's successful.
I get it too, but also, I've gotten in fucking plenty of arguments about Tim and Marcus and everything. Oh, fuck those guys. Really? Show me when they've ever been mean or bad people to anyone.
Yeah.
And it's like, please, show me. Yeah. Show me where you ever fucked anybody over in business. Show me wherever you took anybody's money. Or how about when you do Google it, you see when he actually stepped up and did things for nonprofits, the community, for this. Because a lot of guys don't understand, like, you especially too. Like, we have a crazy busy schedule, but we still say yes every time we get asked, hey, would you come speak to our unit? Hey, would you come out to Reveille Ranch and talk to a bunch of TACPs going through a fucking lightning challenge?
Yeah.
You could have had a day off today.
Yeah.
You're not getting paid for this?
Nope. The one that hurts the worst is when they attack how I do at my job.
And but nobody knows. But it's all third party
man,
bullshit.
I heard that Tim did this. I'm like, do you know anybody that was ever with me in country ever? No, because I know them all because I'm still friends with them and I still work with them all. You know,
I argued with a dude on Instagram that, you know, became a Green Beret in 2015. I'm like, that was 10 years after Operation Wet Wings happened. You don't fucking know anybody. Like,
OJ Rec, a decade before that.
You have third-party hate for somebody that a guy that you know on your team knew a guy that might have been part of Red Wings when it happened, and it was like, fuck off with your bullshit.
But it just reinforces, I got to keep doing the right thing. You know, like, I hate using, like, do the right thing when nobody's looking. But in this case, everybody's looking all the time at everything that I do and I say, so I just got to do the right thing. And I take that into everything that I do, whether it's training, shooting, training people, my military career. You know, how long has it been you not drinking?
25 days.
You know?
Wow.
Awesome.
No.
That's like, if I'm wearing a uniform or I'm deployed, like, there is not a drop ever anywhere because, like, I got to do the right thing. And also makes life better and sex better and sleep better.
Yes, I'm having the time of my life.
How long have you been completely sober, no drugs, drinking, all that stuff?
10 years.
Wow. No kidding. What was the deciding factor?
Afghanistan in 2008.
Something crazy happened?
Yeah, I mean, we got our ass kicked. And there's a PKM machine gun stick out of a window, and I threw a grenade through that window where there's a machine gun lighting us up. And there's a bunch of women and children in there. And I went back and drank myself into oblivion, and a team got in a tick, and I was drunk.
And what do you say to...
I'm a piece of shit. I'm a loser.
Did you say, hey, man, I was drinking and I fucked this up, or what happened?
No,
like that?
Everything I did was right. Up to the drinking, and then I'm drinking, and I couldn't go
rescue.
I couldn't do anything, right? Like, I'm not going to go hop in a helicopter. I'm not going to grab my kid. I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to sit here until I sober up. And like when I sobered up, I was filled with guilt and shame, and I was disgusted with myself. And then it was like, never again will
I put myself in that situation.
Yep,
it makes sense because I always wonder what the defining thing is for Jared. He has a 23-year-old girlfriend and
24.
Okay, she's 24. And that's obviously going to make him want to get a little pep in his step and get back in the game. You've got a bet on the line too.
Yeah, the drinking thing came from a bet. Yeah. The boys said there's no way you could go until March, and like they obviously don't know. Like when somebody says I can't do something, guess what? I'll do it.
Look at those crazy blue eyes. They're pure crazy.
Like and this hasn't been hard. Like honestly, it's been nothing but beneficial. I have more time. I'm getting more work done. I'm getting more ideas. I'm getting organized a lot better. Like yes,
I don't think the world needs an organized Jared Taylor though.
You know what I mean?
That's dangerous. That's a frightening thought.
It's like you for drinking with you. It's like putting a governor on a car for a teenager.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's too dangerous to let you loose like that.
You got to keep you down with the rest of us normal people.
Can't happen.
Air Force accelerating? No.
Can't happen.
No.
What's up next for you?
So I'm finishing up a book.
How is that going, by the way? Because the books are brutal, aren't they?
It's, it's really, really humiliating. Just like put it out there.
Yeah.
And you know, thankfully, you guys know Nick. Nick has been there for most of these big events in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So being able to contribute details that I have intentionally forgotten, it's pretty cool. And
is he your co-author on this one? Yeah. Yeah.
And
you need one because when you're talking about yourself, it is hard because there's a lot of stories you don't want to share because it seems too braggadocious. Yeah. Therefore, you need somebody there to say, hey, man, I've got to ask you these questions and get the details and then put them in there because you never will.
Nope. But it's funny because he'll remember and he'll know and he'll ask me and I'm like, I don't want to talk about this.
Yeah, but you have to.
Yeah. Then we talk about it and then it turns into something cool. I hope, you know, the whole point, just like everything that I do is to inspire and encourage people to go and do rad shit. My company Sheepdog Response, our mission is to preserve and protect human life. And, we trained 3,000 people last year and, we know for a fact our students have, two of them have been in shootings, law enforcement. And, we had a corrections officer have to fight a guy that had slit open his wrist. So she fought him to get him to the ground, subdued him, and then put a tourniquet on him and saved his life. So like these are just pure heroes that are out there every single day. We just bought a 20,000 square foot facility in Austin, Texas for our headquarters and our new private school.
That's great.
We're launching a children's school to build the next generation of patriots.
When is that launch? Because we all just moved out here. I'd love to put my kids in that.
September 13th will be our doors open, first day of school day.
2021?
Uh-huh.
Great.
Yeah. And
because you have kids.
I do.
Talk about the importance of teaching them proper gun safety and training. Because I feel like in today's world, especially with where we're headed, there isn't anything more important than that, is how to protect yourself. I know your show is called Hard to Kill, but you really do have to make yourself hard to kill
but also
in
just
today's world.
From the kid perspective.
Yeah.
You don't see a whole lot of kids in like rural Kentucky accidentally shooting their foot off with a shotgun.
No.
Yeah. Or shooting
their parents
in the
take
face.
Them out to the woods and they teach them how to
shoot
properly.
They shoot a watermelon or something and show them what a shotgun can do. That's what happened to me. Yeah. Like, I saw a watermelon get shot in front of me. I'm like, okay, this thing is not a fucking joke.
Or I touched the gun one time without my dad there, and I got scuffed
up.
I got scuffed up for like 25 minutes.
But that's the problem. Ain't nobody getting scuffed up no more. No, I got scuffed up. We see the attitudes. The attitudes are coming.
Yeah. This school, we're not going to be scuffing anybody up, but they are going to be barrel-chested, freedom-fighting, American-loving children that are going to learn about failure, and they're going to struggle. They're not getting any trophy medals. They're going to say the Pledge of Allegiance every single day. They're going to learn math. They're going to learn science. They're going to learn real history, not like a new perspective or a new take on what history means, but they're going to learn what happened, and then they can, you know, we're going to take a Socratic method to everything. So we're not going to give anything besides the information and the questions that are generated off of their own minds.
When did we start editorializing history? Doesn't that seem problematic?
Yeah, you know what we should do? We should curate history.
Like, I know. What the fuck? Dude, just say what happened, and then we can talk about what happened, but say what happened first.
Yeah, we have editorialized history before. Who did that well?
Oh, was it?
The Nazis.
There it is.
And then they killed like 15 million Jews. So maybe we shouldn't do that again.
No, we shouldn't do that again.
Is hunting Hitler over, by the way?
God, man, I don't want to. Yes.
No,
they
found him, yeah.
Yeah, he's dead.
He's right over there.
He's dead. Well,
everybody loved that show.
It's such a great show.
It was a great show.
Season 4, which we had written, when we went to the network and they looked at, we were going to be going to the Middle East, where a bunch of Nazis went to South America, and then a lot of them came to the United States under Operation Paperclip, helped NASA, helped us get to the moon.
Yep.
I don't know, like, you know, enemy of mine, I mean, he's my friend. I don't know about that stuff. I don't know whatever. But a whole bunch of them went to the Middle East, and some of the founders of the Mujahideen were advised by these beautiful, blue-eyed, blonde-haired, curious.
I wasn't there.
Okay.
I wasn't there.
You see these pictures and these names of these guys that were advising the original Mujahideen. So what we know of, like, the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, if you trace all that back to the Mujahideen, you find Nazis. Nazis that should have been hung after Nuremberg, but they found... Anyway, so History Channel is like, ooh, I don't know if we can touch this, because these are still political organizations that exist today.
Yeah.
Well, after the whole Narcos thing with Netflix and their producer getting...
You don't want to go fucking full Charlie Hebdo either.
No.
I mean, I know the History Channel doesn't. I do, personally, yes. But the History Channel does not want armed terrorists showing up their house.
Not at all. And speaking of the History Channel, like, did you find it as the seasons were going on, because of what was happening politically in this country, that they would change storylines and things like that and be like, hey, man, that's too much to touch right now.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, you really hit the nail on the head there. In the middle of filming things, as we're hearing the word Nazi and fascist become more and more prevalent in like regular
casual conversation
in the United States.
Godwin's law, right?
Yeah, and we're like,
it's fucking stupid.
Can we talk about this? And so we had to be really sensitive, and that the final edits of the show omitted a lot of things that were, I think, important to say, but current day, everybody that says, Nazi, you don't know Nazis.
No.
Yes. Well, I mean, it's like the average Antifa child thinks that they're anti-fascist. You have no goddamn idea what fascism looks like, you skinny white bitch. Like, you have no fucking clue what it looks like.
No, you don't know what a fucking mass grave looks like. You don't know.
If you did, you'd be sucking everybody's dick around you, thinking whatever the fuck you pray to, that you were born in this goddamn country.
In this
right?
time period.
In Portland, Oregon.
I mean,
Oregon.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Like,
know,
like, what
one of the most
stress.
Beautiful places on the planet.
What fucking, what's the plight of the middle class in Portland that it's so bad that it's producing these cuts?
I don't know. If I graduated with a degree in feminism, I don't know what I would do with my life either. But
when you hear that, when you hear the term Nazi or fascist being thrown at Trump and the Republicans all the time, I mean, you actually did a show about real Nazis and about Hitler, like, how offending is that, where you're just like, Jesus, how offensive is that, where you're just like, Jesus Christ, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah, so we say TV show, but it was reality TV.
And like, it was real, yeah.
Yeah, we were in South America, and I was following around legitimate Nazis. I would sit down at a bar, and I'd look at a guy that had an Iron Cross tattooed onto his neck, or he had the swastika with a palm for his grandpa. And when people are removed from ideas by a generation or geographically, they become more fanatical about them. It's not like they're like, oh, my grandpa was a Nazi.
Yeah, because they didn't experience it. Right. It's just an idea.
Yeah. So, but the idea in the echo chamber and
becomes nostalgic, too. Yeah,
exactly. So they start putting it on this pedestal. Mm. And they say are idolizing these ideas. And their grandpa that fought in the war, you know, and he was trying to do all these great things and, like, the rise of the Fourth Reich. Mm. But then they get crazier and crazier and crazier. And I'm sitting across from these guys, and they're legitimately talking about a Fourth Reich. And so, like,
how do you not lose your mind?
To your question, when some kid is like, "Ah, oh, that guy's a Nazi," because I don't agree with them, I just want to, like, reach down his throat and then take out his soul, eat it, shit it out, take that shit, and then put it back inside of him, because it would be better than what I just yanked out.
At least shit has mass. You know? Shit has mass.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. There's actually substance there.
Yeah.
And there's no substance in these people.
No,
it's empty words in an echo
platitudes.
Chamber.
It's nonsense.
Endlessly.
Yeah, it's just nonsense.
So we've had this conversation on the show numerous times. Do you think it'll get better or only worse after this election?
Worse.
I agree.
Yeah.
In either way, the information pendulum is so fucked.
Yes.
Like we cannot trust the media at all anymore. We can't trust social media. I mean, Jack Dorsey got on fucking Zoom 2 days ago and looked like a fucking jerk off.
Yeah.
Like,
that was insane.
At least Zuckerberg is coming around going, oh,
this is probably a bad idea.
I probably should shift sides because I could actually see jail time.
Yeah.
Jack Dorsey is a fucking idiot and is going to probably end up in jail.
Do they not
understand,
like, I mean, do they understand history, that when that pendulum of lies and censorship swings too far, like,
and
they
it
are
finally is breaking,
then it breaks.
Yeah.
And the break result is, in this case, it'll be antitrust laws. It might be the complete
breakdown. The break is usually the upper class or the ruling class, whomever it happens to be. In this case, the tech companies get fucking murdered in their homes, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean,
if you
look at all the other countries where this kind of shit has happened.
Look at what's going on with the Michigan
governor. Like the Bolsheviks, what has happened.
She pissed so many people off. Two groups were fucking conspiracizing to fuck her.
Two different militia
groups. Whatever the
fuck
you're going to say. They were conspiring to fucking kidnap her.
Yeah.
And no, if there's anybody out there that's thinking about going and killing a politician.
No,
that's
I will come
that's
and kill you
that's
if you even think
idea.
About that.
I
will murder
find
you
in
myself.
Your bed and kill you.
Yes, fuck you.
With that said, if you're a douchebag politician, this is what happens. it has happened throughout history. Every time, if you go to, and you're like, I'm sorry.
Bring back tar and feathering.
Yeah, you go to the supermarket, you can buy a little bit of bread, and you can buy a little bit of milk, but you can't buy seeds, you can't buy vegetables, you can't buy paint, and this is what the Michigan governor did.
Yeah.
The people are not going to like that.
And then they're going to uproot you fucking real quick.
And there's two ways. You're going to get at the ballot box, or they're going to die, and that happens historically.
Yeah,
I really hope that we do it through the ballot box because that's the right way.
Well, we got to get rid of this PC bullshit because you know, I'm sure you listen to Jordan Peterson like everybody else. If we can't fight with our words, then we're going to end up fighting with our fists. Yeah. And these people that are on the other side, on the left, they don't want to fight with fists because we've been doing it for 20 years. Like, what the fuck is the plan here, dude? Yeah. I don't understand that.
There's no win for you.
That's
there.
Like walking into a fucking a fence full of pit bulls. And you're like, well, I could just walk out of here, or I can fuck up these pit bulls, brother. No, you're going to die, motherfucker. What are you thinking? Jesus fucking Christ. It doesn't make any sense.
So what happens in, because I know you do a lot of, I hate to use the word secret, but like you do a lot of crazy shit around the United States that nobody knows about, and we won't discuss on this show. One of the things you told me off air a long time ago, and I was like, oh, fuck, you were there? And it's crazy to me. Your life is absolutely insane to me. Having seen all of these areas and pockets around the United States, what happens in Seattle? What happens in a Portland if a Biden wins or something like that? Or if Trump wins, does it fucking keep escalating?
Yeah. I mean, at some point, these idiots have to realize that there's consequence for breaking the law.
Yeah.
And when Trump tweets rule and order, you know, if that's not an incendiary comment, there's no way that stability and commerce can ever happen. If you're a believer in BLM, then you should want rule and order because that brings in commerce. Commerce brings in prosperity.
Economic equality is the most important thing.
Yeah. And then with that stability and security becomes every opportunity for these lower socioeconomic demographics to be raised up.
Yeah, this is Maslow's hierarchy of needs, by the way. This isn't fucking new. It's been around for a couple of minutes now.
Yeah.
Jesus fucking Christ.
But if you continue down the path of anarchy and chaos,
censorship and fucking
it never works. It's never worked once in human history.
Where that happened, And what did you do while you were there?
Murder.
Shot people.
I shot people. Yeah. I fucking killed people. Yeah. So let me tell you what happens if you keep doing that. You're going to be dead.
Yeah.
So don't do that.
Yeah, I'm just curious because, you know, we've made our own predictions on this show over the last week. We had Alex Jones on for the election prediction show and all that stuff. Like, we're fully preparing for Trump to win, shit to go down in Austin and these some of these other cities.
Yeah.
And I don't know how it gets any better unless you send in the National Guard or something like that.
Well, I mean, here in Texas, Abbott's going to clearly send in the state police into Austin, at least. I don't know if he'll send National Guard as well.
Well, you've lived here longer than us. Yeah. What do you think?
Because he did.
Yeah,
it
if you're thinking about rioting in Texas, go somewhere
luck.
Else.
No, I mean,
so, let me tell you about
how long
the
did
Texas
the,
DPS.
How long did the Chaz Chop thing last here? 35 minutes, I think.
Yeah, 30.
Like
minutes.
Seriously, it was 35.
Yeah,
it was like
it was, and then they ran him over with horses.
With horses, the state police ran him out of town on horseback. Like, come on, man, it's still Texas.
And behind the horses, unbeknownst to everybody with the camera that thought they were capturing some human rights violation,
oppression.
Were a bunch of plain vans.
Yeah. Jump out, boys.
Pipe hitters. Jump that if those
boys.
Horses didn't do what they were going to do.
Yeah. Guess what?
Yeah, and those van doors opened.
Your pink hair ain't saving you from this one.
The jump
streets
out, boys.
Teeth are coming loose.
I wanted to behold it. I mean, I would have just been like, this is amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah. Somebody pour me a drink. And I would have broken my absence.
No, I can't. I can't.
To watch that?
I have to hide from some of my friends now because I don't want to tech. I don't want to have my tests.
Yeah, look, it's getting crazy. November 3rd is going to be out of control. I hope we have an answer then because I want to move on either way, right? If everybody's got to deal with this bullshit
for the next 4 years. I
mean, I
really hope to rub it in. I'm hoping by November 4th, I'm like, ha, 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 ha. You guys can sit the fuck back down
Either way.
Too. Yeah.
Either way.
Let
you
the
know,
contributors
like,
to society actually make the decisions.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it is.
That's the thing.
Let
I'm,
it go.
I'm in
Tim.
A belief.
Let it go.
Let it go.
Let it air it out, Tim.
I mean,
if you are on any form of aid, you should not have a vote.
No.
I don't agree with that.
Well, you can disagree, but it's like if we're it's just like this. We're 100 people right now surviving in this area, and you refuse to work or anything like that to
well,
help.
How about
to
pay
help
taxes?
Refusal. Well, I mean, SCOTUS has already ruled on that. You can't do that. The amount or whether or not you pay taxes cannot be a factor whether or not you get a vote.
If you pay taxes, I'm saying 1 cent. You file a W-2,
right? Even if it's zero, you're saying
zero.
Yeah, I mean that's fine. I mean, but who doesn't do that?
A lot of people.
A lot of people
really?
Don't.
Really? They don't file at all?
At all.
Yeah, like...
Why?
Like, a lot of people. Like
if you're in a financial situation where you don't need to file, then you usually get money for free, right?
Yeah.
So it's not them. So who is it? Just assholes?
Yeah,
I mean, if you're a criminal, you can't vote.
Well, it's
like
also, if you
criminal.
Make under a certain amount of money, you don't have to
file. I'm
just saying,
so if we're paying for these programs, why the hell do the people that receive the programs get a fucking say?
Because it's America. That's why.
I just want... I'm the.
But it is an interesting conversation. Should voting be a right or a privilege? I think that's a really good conversation to have.
Privilege,
because of Starship Troopers, mostly, right?
Yeah, that's a great book.
Become a citizen.
Like,
right.
I don't think I don't think you have to earn citizenship via military service, but some kind of service. I think this is real. I think from elementary school on, instead of learning a foreign language, or maybe in addition to, have a requirement for graduation of each step, maybe even each grade, be some kind of community service, right? From the from the time you're able to understand what the fuck service is, which actually probably before that, when you're 7 or 8 years old, every year you should have some kind of service requirement, whatever it is, to graduate that grade, on through high school, maybe even through college. Yeah. I mean, if we can't teach our children how important it is to forget about yourself and think about other people and do shit for other people,
then
this country will not survive.
Exactly,
this country won't
right
survive.
But let me tell you about what I deserve, though.
Yeah. Oh boy,
yeah, what I deserve.
Get fucked with what you deserve.
I think we're all actually saying the same thing.
Yeah, we are.
Just
for sure.
Nuanced.
Yeah, for sure.
I think this would be a long.
Because there is so many people out there bitching about what they deserve.
If you're not
but
helping carry the log, anything, you don't get to help us decide where we're taking it.
Exactly.
That's a fair point.
Exactly.
That's a good point. Yep.
But
it's
never going to change.
Hey, we're going to set this down here, right here. We're good. No. I need it all the way
over
there. On top
of that hill.
Yeah, but you weren't fucking carrying it.
Yeah, but you also have to understand that when you put caveats into institutions like that, inevitably somebody's going to take advantage of it and try to fuck
people
over, right?
But also we've lost
like
we've lost a complete
generation.
Personal accountability at all.
For this
now,
whole generation.
Now it's all, but what about the mother that has 7 kids that can't afford... What about the mother that fucking got seven fucking kids?
Yeah.
Is there no accountability at all for anybody's decisions?
I mean, individual responsibility is what the founding fathers, in their wisdom, knew was going to be necessary for this constitutional republic to be able to exist.
That's the only thing about individual this country that matters. Individual liberty is the only thing, and it comes with the implied task of individual responsibility, right? It's the only thing that matters. That flag right there stands for a lot of dead friends of ours, a lot of people in the past, all sorts of things, but most importantly, it stands for individual liberty. That's what these guys cared about most, even though they were deeply flawed people. They were slave owners. They were a lot of them were criminals. Shit. Yeah. Abraham Lincoln was a piece of shit, dude. He bribed everybody to get the 13th Amendment passed. Yeah. But individual liberty is what it was about. It was about fucking doing whatever I can to make sure these people are free. And that's what America fucking does. You know, when we stop doing that, we start looking back at ourselves and wondering what we deserve, then we become a bunch of cunts, right? And this whole generation now is a bunch of cunts. It's embarrassing.
Yeah,
it's embarrassing, honestly.
And to go back to what you were saying earlier about your school, about teaching real history, as we move forward with all of this shit, and the PC and the political correctness and all the everything, they're going to start rewriting history. So therefore, these textbooks...
They're already getting wiped. They've been doing it for 5 years.
There was a study that they didn't know the Holocaust exists.
Was it 1913?
Yeah.
Yeah, like 85% of kids under the 15 or something like
under
that.
Under the age of 16 don't know about the Holocaust or Anne Frank or anything.
1619. Yeah.
It's... 1619, the new history.
You just listen to her? Yeah. You won't listen to me? I say it three times? You're like, oh, she just she's pretty. She says it.
She did make a video about it yesterday, I think. Right? Whatever.
So, yeah, I think it's important that you're doing that, because if it's not you, it's nobody else, and it's not going to be our school system. I can promise you that.
No, it won't be.
It's funny. Texas actually controls the curriculum for a lot of the country, right? Because everything goes through all the textbooks for the entire country are printed here in Texas.
That's right. Lee Harvey Oswald shot from there, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No. What the fuck are you talking about?
The book's depository.
No.
What?
Suppository?
He
wasn't putting books up his ass.
He put a book up his ass and then killed Kennedy. All of us at this table know he didn't even take the shot.
He put one book up his ass and then shot President Kennedy. We all know
that. The book's suppository.
He did not shoot President Kennedy. The real guy's name was Kenneth Marlowe.
Yeah, and he was working under the direct
order. Do you even know about that? Kenneth Marlowe. Look that name up.
Let's be real about that.
What?
I don't know where we are right now.
No, the book depository is where we're at. That's where they made all the textbooks and all that shit. And those are getting distributed throughout Texas. Dan says that's going to save America. I don't think so.
I didn't say it would save America. Texas is deeply flawed in the way they create these textbooks.
Yeah,
they allow all sorts of outside influence. It's consultants from all over the country that come in and tell them what to put in and what not to put in textbooks. Put the fucking history in there, bitch.
Yeah.
What the fuck are you talking about? Why are we debating about history? This isn't the Council of Nicaea in 336 AD to decide which books go in the Bible. This is actual history, not somebody's opinion on stuff. These are facts.
Yeah, I don't care about your opinions on gender. You can believe whatever you want about gender, to include yours. And I think with individual responsibility, you have to be like, and individual freedom, cool. Do whatever you want, because we believe in individual liberty. Yeah. But you can't tell me
I have to fucking
what
acknowledge
science
it.
Looks like, because science is pretty straightforward.
Well, that's Peterson's argument. Like, he was like, yeah, if you want to transition and have me call you she, I don't care about that. But you make a law and tell me to do that, you can suck my fucking dick, dude. Yeah. Never suck will I do dick. That. You make any law telling me what I can or cannot say or do, then you can suck.
Oh, guess what? Canada did it.
Yeah, they certainly
They'll jail you if you misgender somebody.
Yeah, well, we should take
good
a trip
job,
up there.
Canada.
And the fear of that is if the wrong person gets into office, that will happen here as well. And then we're going to all have to take it. And
that would never last.
Or open up our own
the current
schools.
Supreme Court, now, no way.
Well, if they pass the court,
we're like, wait a second.
Yeah. Well, it's 1869 is the last time any alteration has been made to the Supreme Court. It would be pretty unpopular if they tried to do it right now, right?
Yeah, I mean,
that would be a nuclear option.
But when you look at Malcolm X, and he says, by any means, and that's the motto of the fanatics on both sides, by any means. You're like, can we riot? Yes. Can we pull down the statues? Yes. Can we do bodily harm? Can I take away liberties of other people? Can I censor these people? And they all say yes.
Yeah.
They say yes because they think that the ideas that are in conflict with the echo chambers of their own ideas don't even deserve to be heard.
Right, yeah.
And that's dangerous.
Of course, yeah, that is really dangerous. If you can't allow for dissent, then it only goes in one direction, right?
Yeah.
Like, the true lesson from South America isn't that this man spent decades in prison and then became president. I mean, sure, that's a great story. It's a great story. The lesson from that is that Mandela came out, and when people tried to get violent, he said no. He goes, South Africa. South Africa. Sorry. This isn't about retribution. This is about healing our community. Right? You have to have them. You have to be magnanimous in victory.
Yeah.
In any case, it is.
But that looked really good for a few years. I'm not sure when the last time we were in South Africa was.
No, he's dead now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And his family's basically fucked off out of there too, to be honest. Like there's nothing. There's nothing left for anybody in South Africa
10 years ago. Now I'm like, I just want to go with a rifle.
Yeah.
Is it that bad?
Oh yeah. You land in Jayburg and like if you don't have a gun and you go outside of protected security guard areas, you're dead.
No shit.
Yeah.
Man.
If you're a white farmer in anywhere, like
they're coming for that land.
They're coming for you.
I mean, shit. Where was it in Northeast Africa? They actually just paid they paid a bunch of the white farmers who had their land stolen back in the day.
Yeah,
like $3.5 billion or some shit, right? Yeah. It's not gonna happen.
Can we just all get along?
No, we can't.
All right, cool. We can't be good at war.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly.
Speaking of which, what's the worst part of the world you've seen right now?
He's got a dig for that one. There's just a lot.
Always curious because I don't get to see this
I always think Haiti is the worst place in the world. I don't think it can get any worse than that. I think Haiti is probably the worst place in the world because there's no hope for it ever getting better.
What about Somalia?
That's probably the same. Yeah
Somalia. Yeah. But what I like, so I'm going to these places like Niger, Burkina Faso, Mauritania, and often. And I'm actually seeing, like the Titanic, as we are adding more stability and security into these regions where they're headed directly for an iceberg where everybody's going to drown and freeze to death and live.
And die.
The short duration of their lives in agony. Those countries are like shifting towards democracies and capitalism and constitutions. And, women are driving. And I'm like, how? You guys built a building there.
Yeah.
Like that used to be literally a dump, and you only put human excrement there. But now you built something. That's a school? And in 2 years, so it's really cool to see North Africa having changes like that. And Northeast Africa still breaks my heart.
Yeah, Eritrea, Ethiopia, Somalia, all that shit's fucked, man. That civil war is
Egypt.
Egypt's
on the border.
Egypt is
like on the borders. They're kind of fucking like.
I mean, they're still skirmishing. They've got a bunch of ISIS in Northeast Egypt that are helping fucking the Palestinians get shit in through the blockade and stuff. So there's problems up there. There's always going to be problems in Egypt, right? Because it's corrupt as fuck.
Yeah,
but it's not nearly as bad.
You see the Taliban post with all their new toys the other day?
No, I missed it.
Oh,
did they get their Christmas presents?
No, they've got like nice body armor and helmets and. They had a fucking grenade launchers.
Russia.
Is that our biggest threat? You've been everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, so we've been fighting Russia for 40 years.
Yeah.
And
China economically is our biggest threat.
Yeah. If the ideas of communism, period, both
for sure.
China and Russia and the proxy wars that we have with them. So they're like two peas in a pod, even though they have no alignment strategically, and they both want their own objectives to be the world superpower. Both of them fighting us concurrently is where we are. And so if we're fighting Russia, we're also fighting China.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're fighting China, we're also fighting Russia. But we're not fighting them directly. It's via proxy of whatever country we're in. And that sucks.
We've been in a new Cold War ever since 2003. Ever since we invaded Iraq and Russia started sending weapons into Iraq through Iran. We've been in a new Cold War. Yeah, EFPs, RPG-29s, all that shit came from there. All the NVGs that they had at the beginning of the war, all of it came from Russia.
Dude, right? I see rad NVGs in Africa.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
Just steal those shit and bring them back home. Like there's no serial number on this.
How did you get these? Just tell me who gave these to you.
Like 15th generation. Yeah. Nods.
Like, I ordered them off. Cheaper than dirt.
It's called Christmas shopping.
Every time you're on the show, it's
a banger.
It's enlightening. Yeah. It's enlightening.
Fun times.
This is the point in the show where we get to the drinking bro of the week, which is someone who has inspired you or helped you become the person you are today. Who is that guy for you?
Me.
Whoa,
it's me.
Man.
It's totally me.
Jared's not a very good example.
Or a lady. Could be a lady.
It's called a callback, bitch.
We just had Gothic Serpent happen. Mm-hmm. And when I enlisted, Shugart and Gordon were my idols. And I have put myself in that helicopter. I mean, I've been in that position where I'm over and I'm looking down and countless times have I been like, if this goes one way, we're in a Shugarton Gordon moment. If it goes another way, it's like America rules and you get stability and security. And thank God it's always gone this way. But I ask myself all the time, would I be prepared? Would I be trained to be able to make that decision? Because you don't rise to the occasion, right? You only raise to the level of your training.
Right.
And those guys were the most incredibly trained men on the planet. And when they watched their teammates on the ground that were all about to get bludgeoned to death by a bunch of savages, they said, sir, put us on the ground. We're going to go fight for these guys. So Shugarton Gordon are the... That is the goal. That is the standard. That is the accountability that I hold myself to. And the question I ask myself every morning when I get up, what would I do? Am I capable of making that decision?
Yeah.
And even if I was capable of making that decision and I was able to get to that helicopter, could I be able to do what they did to save life?
I mean, at least Durant's life, right?
Yeah.
At least his. Like,
just one.
And you got to forget about the movies and all that bullshit. Put yourself in that position and think about, was there any doubt at any time in either one of their minds that they were going to die that day? I don't think so.
No, not a, I don't.
Because we've all been in situations similar, like, oh, fuck, this is fucked up, right?
Yeah.
And you just have to accept that shit and move on.
Let's get some cover and let's fucking start shooting.
They had that no one, cover? That oh, was yeah, an, like,
that was
cover.
Actual. That was actually an even more extreme situation. Like, there was no question. There
400
was,
dudes running towards what I see to be a pilot that is moving.
The Shugart had an M14 with an aim point on it.
Yeah. And a fucking
and
a fucking M92 Beretta. M92 Beretta where the safety
that is
probably
such
didn't
a
work.
Gangster setup too. Yeah. It was a wood-stocked M14 too.
Yeah.
It's pretty dope.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, those guys are real American heroes, man.
One more question before I get out of here. Because we're on the road traveling, interviewing celebrities everywhere, partying with Kid Rock a few weeks ago and all that shit at his house, interviewing him for the show and everything else. My wife always gives me shit.
Yeah.
But I'm only gone for a couple days. How does your wife deal with your schedule? Because you guys have been married for a very long time at this point.
Yeah.
Is that difficult?
Ooh.
Because I take heat from my wife where she's like, oh, you're gonna go party with Kid Rock and John Daly. Have fun.
Yeah. Actually,
your kids miss you.
For his anniversary 2 years ago, she made a highlight reel of me and him hanging out.
That's all, dead all, serious. All over the world. Fall, yes, yeah. Dead serious. She was for like, happy for my anniversary. Yeah. She goes, happy anniversary to your real partner.
And it was it was pictures. It was pictures and videos of us at like NFL games.
Yeah.
Oh, yikes.
How does she deal with it?
She's amazing. As we look at these Air Force TACPs that are heroes and doing incredible things, it's not just them, right? The family unit of their partners and their parents, their brothers and sisters that make sacrifices for them to do this very, very difficult career. Those wives are cut above.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's running 7 companies when I'm gone. I leave. What is revenue drops 90%.
Yeah.
And, we still have to pay bills, but I'm making a salary of an E8 when I'm wearing a uniform. And so that's next question.
Yeah.
That's a good lesson.
But looking at his Instagram, that's the first thought I had where I was just like, man, how did your wife, kids, and all that stuff, like when you're gone, deal with it?
Cause I mean, it's difficult hard. Enough. It's hard. A business like this, add the military on top of it. So if you're a private out there and you're thinking about marrying that stripper, skip it.
Skip it.
Find a woman that can deal with all that bullshit so you don't end up 25 years old with two kids
and a
divorce.
She's an MBA undergrad in finance and accounting, she, like CFO of companies. So like, I got a gangster partner. Mm. But, the hardest part, I come home broken, just like everybody. Busted up, bloody gear smells like donkey piss and shit and my friend's blood. And, she not only has been running stuff, but then gets me right. So, love you.
Well, look, man, we love every time you're on here. If you're not following Tim Kennedy, Tim, please tell everybody where they can find you. You're one of the most fascinating people because it's hard to describe what it is you do every single day. And your life story seems unbelievable. I'm looking forward to the book coming out. Where do you find Tim Kennedy online?
Tim Kennedy MMA for like all the social media stuff, but remember it's just social media, so relax a smidge. Sheepdog Response is the company where if you want to hang out and shoot with me, I'm there. But like everything else is just I try to hang out with barrel chested freedom fighting, freedom loving Americans.
Awesome.
And then one guy with a ball in his hat. Just one guy.
Just one.
You got to have one at least. One friend who tells you you look nice, you know?
Yeah.
That's what it is. We appreciate you being here, Tim. For Jared Taylor, D'Anthony Holloway, Tim Kennedy, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the Drinking Bros. Good night, everyone.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again. Sally from Finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.